And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner.
My God.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's the word of the Lord. I'll leave you with the title today, The Right Place. You're in the right place. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, and you are awesome, God, and we are so thankful for another time to preach your word, God. We just pray that you will move by your spirit and allow your word to just go forth with nothing hindering, God. We pray that you will bless your people as they are waiting to hear what it is that you need to say through me, God. So allow me to decrease, that you might increase, and that your word might go forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
You are in the right place.
All right.
You are in the right place. Jesus was passing through Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And this is mentioned about him because people felt some type of way about this man because he was a tax collector, and he was one who was a Jew, but he was actually working for the Roman government. And any other Jew would look at him and take him to be a traitor. And they didn't like him because he made sure that the Romans got their tax money. And not only did the Romans get theirs, but he got his. And so whenever they saw tax collectors, the Jews had a serious issue with that. They had a serious problem because they weren't just taxing the people, but they were overtaxing them. But this man, the Bible says, sought to see Jesus, who he was. He had a desire to know Jesus. He probably had heard a lot about him by now. And he had a desire to know who he was and to see who he was. You know how it is when you hear so much about a person and then you get to a place where you say, I just want to see who this person is. I just got to see who this person is, who you keep talking about, and, you know, who I keep hearing about. I just want to see who this person is. And so it says he sought him out.
Well,
he sought Jesus out. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. This man was a short man, very short. And he was in the crowd, in the mix of the crowd. And here Jesus is, he's walking by, and he has a desire in his heart to know who this Jesus is. And Jesus is walking through the crowd, and he can't see Jesus. I want to let you know today that sometimes you have to understand that the crowd is not the best thing for you.
Well,
sometimes being in the crowd, some things can happen in the crowd that can keep you from Jesus. Sometimes the company that you keep will keep you from Jesus. The company that you keep, the people who are surrounding you, the people who are putting things in your mind and telling you things. A lot of things can happen in a crowd. You can hear so many things in a crowd. You can see so many things in a crowd. And sometimes people will try to discourage you in the crowd. This man had a desire to see Jesus. And I can only imagine him that while he was in the crowd, the man was, and he's small, he's a short man, so he couldn't see. And so all of the people around him, and he's probably saying, excuse me, watch out, let me see if I can get over here, has anybody ever been in a parade or been at a parade? And, you know, I can remember being younger, and my parents would have to take me and put me on their shoulder in order to be able to see the parade in the crowd. Because I'm down too low. I can't see because, and I want to see. And I'm desperately trying to see. And then they look around and see, you can't see. No, I can't see. And they will lift me up to be able to see over the crowd. I can see Zacchaeus in that crowd. And he has a desire. And you know, sometimes people don't understand your desire.
Yeah. Well,
they don't understand this place that you are in. See, many of us are in a place in our lives where most people just don't understand. You look at this man and you would think that he had the riches and he has everything that he could ever want. Because money, people think that money solves all problems. He had a job. He was working for the Roman government. What could he want? What could he think? What kind of desire could he have for Jesus? Why would he even want to, you know, follow after Jesus? He has everything. And sometimes people will look at your life and they will try to judge you and try to make you understand you and understand what's going on in your life when they don't know anything about you. And they look at you and they look at what you have and they look at your life and they look at your children. They don't know anything about you. But you have this desire. And you find yourself in this place where nobody else can understand. Nobody else understands where you are. And Zacchaeus is in the crowd. And everybody else is thinking one thing. And we see how the people were angry. They said when they saw that Jesus had paid some attention to the man, they murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. They were angry. And the people were, they couldn't understand this thing. But Zacchaeus, you know, he was in a place in his life that, you know, was a place where most people would look at and say, you know, even though they look at your life, they don't quite understand where you are. And this place is so deep that nobody can see it. Nobody can go there but you. That's the place that where you may be right now. And sometimes, you know, we have to look at ourselves and realize that, you know, you can't look around at the crowd all the time and let the crowd tell you where to go and what to do and how to do. You got to begin to take the crowd out of your mind and begin to listen to what's going on in your heart. What's going on the inside of you that's telling you, that's drawing. Something was drawing him. And he didn't understand it. He probably didn't understand it himself. He's in the crowd. And he's like, I hear that Jesus is going to pass by. He's coming by this way. You know what? I need to see this man. I want to see what this man looks like. But he couldn't see the man because of the crowd. Somebody needs to let go of the crowd. And so the scripture says, and he ran before. He ran before the crowd. Now, get a picture of this man. This little small man trying to see Jesus. He's got this desire in his heart. He's at this place in his life where nobody else around him quite understands what's going on. He's running before them. Can you imagine the people looking at him like, well, where's he going? Well, where's he going? What's going on with him in his mind? Where's he going? And then the Bible says, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And so this man ran before the crowd. Somebody needs to get out of the crowd. Get out of the crowd. And move ahead of the crowd.
Come on now.
And God is showing us that, you know, many of us, we have allowed the crowd to crowd our minds with some things that's not like him. We have allowed the crowd to stop us from getting to him. And God is saying, get out of the crowd and begin to move before the crowd. And the Bible says this man climbed up in a sycamore tree. He climbed up. Has anybody ever climbed a tree before? Have you ever climbed a tree? Do you realize that it's not an easy thing? I mean, some people do it like it's easy, but not everybody can climb a tree. And so God is showing us here that, you know, when you decide that you're going to move out from the crowd, it's not going to be easy.
Go ahead.
Don't think that it's going to be easy to move away from some people who have been influencing you and people who have been telling you something. Don't think that it's going to be the easy thing to do, because, you know, this man, he climbed up the sycamore tree, and we know that wasn't an easy thing to do, but he climbed up in that tree because of the desire, this place where he found himself.
Yeah.
And he's trying to understand himself. What in the world is going on with me? And can you imagine the crowd? Can you imagine the crowd seeing him up in the tree? And the crowd is saying, well, look at the fool. You fool, why are you up in the tree? See, no, they don't know where you are in God.
Yeah.
They don't know what you're going through. They don't understand the place where you are. They don't understand, but they look at you, they look at your life, and they call you a fool. You're a fool for going that far. It don't take that much. It don't take all of that. You're a fool.
My God.
They don't understand your place, where you find yourself. And see, many people who have made up their mind, and when you make up your mind and you say, God, I'm going no matter what. I don't care what the crowd says. I don't care what it looks like. I don't
don't care how I look.
Well,
I'm in a tree. And I, you know, he might have looked around and said, I'm up in a tree. What am I doing up in this tree? Because see, that's what God will do. He will grab you so tight. He will get you so close that you will find yourself saying to yourself, "Self, what? How did I get here?
Come on now.
Where am I? Like, why am I up in this tree?" This man ran. He didn't walk.
Why?
He ran. He was at a place in his life where he probably did not even understand. It says that he could not see Jesus because of the press. Some of us can't see Jesus because of the crowd. He could not see Jesus because he was a short man. Some of us have some obstacles that have come in our lives that we have no control over. Some things are going on in our lives we don't have any control. And you know what? Some of those things, they keep us from seeing Jesus. Some of us have stuff going on, like I heard somebody today say, you know, man, please, I'm going through so much stuff. Listen, I got so much. No, you don't understand what I am going through in my life. But I'm here to let you know that you cannot allow those things to keep you from seeing Jesus. This man, he had enough excuses that he could have made. Oh, he could have just decided, it's too many people, I'm going home. Too many people around here, I can't even walk, I can't. But how many of us know that when we press through the crowd, when we get ourselves to that place, when we just say, you know what, I'm going to find a way to see Jesus. And I don't have any excuses. Because there are some things that I can say, I can make an excuse, I can say I couldn't get to Jesus because I was too short. I can say that.
Yeah.
This man could have turned around and went right back home. He didn't have to stay in that crowd, but he was in a place in his life where he had been drawn by the Father. And when the Father draws you, it's something that you cannot pull yourself away from. You cannot change your direction. God draws you, and you get to the place where you have to be able to be where Jesus is.
My Lord.
This man left the crowd and climbed the tree. And he went higher. And God is saying, I want you to go higher. If you can find a way to go higher, go above your circumstance. Because see, this man had some situations in his life that he could have given up. And see, many of us find ourselves there. You feel like you want to give up right now. You feel like, for me, I got so many excuses. I can just decide right now, listen, I don't even feel like it anymore. How many of us wake up in the morning and we feel like, I just don't feel like this?
My. Go ahead. Minister.
I don't feel like struggling. I don't feel like going through these situations, these problems. I don't feel like it. Lord, it's too much. Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I can't see anything happening good. It's too much going on in my life. How many of us, you know, we go through day after day after day and we can't seem to figure out how, when life is going to change for us?
Come on. Preach it.
God is saying, I need you to learn how to go above your circumstance. I need you to go high. I need you to go to that place. Get to learn how to find that place that, you know, like Zacchaeus did. He went above his circumstance. He got above his circumstance because when you can get in that place and leave the crowd behind. Leave those who have been telling you that, listen, you don't have to, you know, God understands you. You ain't got to do this. You better learn how to shut them down. Shut them down because you're about to miss your blessing.
Come on. Yeah.
And the enemy has them placed strategically around you. You thinking that you have gotten yourself hooked up around a bunch of Christians and people who love the Lord, and you will be shocked at the people who will try to turn you away.
Come on, make it plain.
You will be shocked at the people who will try to make you begin to move away from God instead of moving towards Him.
My Lord.
Oh, you would be shocked. And God is saying, I'm just here to let you know today, you better learn how to shut them down. Because see, I want you to understand that I'm here for you. I want to work with you. I want to show you how to do this thing. And if you think that you can do it without me, then you know, so be it. But let me tell you something. Many people have tried, and I wanted to let you know that you can't do it without Jesus. You will be back.
All right now. Go ahead.
You will be back. Anybody who has tried it, you think you better, you think you can do it better, you think you can, your life can be better without God, you think that you can just go forth and you know, just do the things that you want to do without Him, well, guess what? If you feel like you want to try it, then go ahead. But you will be back. You will be back. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. This man had a desire in his heart to know Jesus. And the Bible says that he wanted to see who he was. I just got to see who he is. I heard so much about him. And you know, one thing that we have to understand is that we got to get past just seeing who he is. You see, he could have been up in that tree and been satisfied with just seeing Jesus. You got to get past seeing him, watching him work. Watching him work in her life and his life and her life, making your assessment as to who he is and what you think he is, and he didn't do this for her and he didn't do that for this one. You just watching him.
Come on.
No, we got to get past just watching him. No, he wants us to get past just seeing who he is. He wants us to get to know who he is, get to understand, get a relationship with him. Too many of us are just watching him. He ran before the crowd. He climbed in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was to pass that way. And verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, and Jesus comes to your place, because he's going to come to your place. He said, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. When Jesus came to the place, you see, you are already at the place. And Jesus knows that you're, he knows where you are in your life. He knows that place where he understands. You see, can anybody see it that Jesus, you know, when you get to that place, you kind of draw Jesus to yourself. When Jesus came to the place, that place, and he's going to come to your place. He knows where you are right now. He knows where your heart is. He knows. He sees that you are drawing him even to yourself. He sees that. And the Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up.
My God.
He looked up and he saw him. Somebody needs to know that Jesus sees you right now.
Hallelujah.
He sees you in your place. He sees you where you are. He sees that heart. He sees that broken heart. He sees that wavering mind. He sees that. And he sees you. He sees that you are drawing yourself to him. He sees that desire that you have in your heart for him. He sees that. And he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. Now, can you imagine Zacchaeus in that tree? Jesus comes to the place. He done made his way up to see Jesus. He's hanging in the tree because he wanted to have a clearer view. He wanted to see who this man is. Who is this man? Who is he? And then Jesus makes it to the place. And when he gets there, Jesus looks up. And first of all, he looked up, and I'm sure that Zacchaeus noticed that Jesus was looking straight at him. And then Jesus called his name.
Well,
he called the man by his name. And I'm here to let you know that he knows your name today. He doesn't only know what is going on. He doesn't only know what your desire is in your heart for him. He knows your name. He knows you by name. And he's ready to call your name.
My God.
He told Zacchaeus, he said, hurry up. He said, make haste. Hurry up. Hurry up. And come down. Hurry up. When Jesus tells you to hurry up, I think you need to be hurrying up. I think you need to be hurrying up because, see, Jesus, you know, we ain't talking about your friend, your mother, or your father. You know how sometimes you see little kids going across the street and their parents are trying to hold their hand and they're trying to, and you saying to yourself, hurry up, little kid, before you get hit. And they just, the parent is holding them and they're dragging them because they're trying to, and they just walking like they don't realize that they about to get hit by a car. Hurry up. And Jesus said, hurry up. Come down from out of that tree. For today, I must abide at your house. I must abide at your house. He said, today, you know, do you realize that God has an appointed time for every situation in our lives?
Yeah.
This was his appointed time. This was the time that God had designed for him to meet him and to get to know him and to really understand who. This was his time. This was his day. And Jesus was like, listen, for today, he said, I must.
Yeah.
When Jesus says must, you better look out, because he's letting you know that this is something that has to happen.
Yes.
Today, this thing right here, this very thing, this has to happen. And see, somebody today, they need to understand that God is saying to you, and he's speaking to you right now, and he's saying, today, this thing is about to happen. This day, I have appointed a change in your life. Some things are going to change. You're getting ready to know me like you've never known me before, and some things in your life are about to change. He said, I must abide. That means I must live there. I must stay there. At your house.
Lord have mercy.
Jesus, come into my house. What I need to do, because let me call home real quick. Make sure that everybody, whoever's up in there, get it straight, get whatever, get it in line, get stuff. Because, see, Jesus is about to follow me back home. And I'm walking with the man, and the man is about to come to my house. And so when we think about our physical homes, we look at our physical home, we say, you know, do we really want Jesus in our physical home? Hey, some of us may not. Some of us have those rooms that we close and nobody can go in. Nobody, don't you touch the door knob. You have guests over, you know, you make sure that you every time you see them going near that doorway, don't touch the doorknob. But what's down there? Don't worry about it. Just stay away from that door. Some of us have doors like that in our spiritual homes. In our homes. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming to live there. That's what I'm talking about. And he's saying, it's so many doors that have been locked that I need to get through.
Watch it. Go ahead. Make it plain.
He said, I want to stay at your house. I want to abide there. And the question is, will you let me in your house? And if you let me in your house, will you let me have full reign in your house? Will you just, you know, trust me that you can open up all the doors, no matter what is behind those doors? Will you trust me with that? Because today. And if Jesus were to say that to us today, if he were to say, you know what, today, I must come to your house.
My Lord.
And see, when he's saying I must, he knows that there's some things that he wants to handle.
Okay.
And he knows that some doors have been shut, man, that you don't even want to open anymore. You don't even want to go there. You just want to forget about it. Because there's just too much mess there, and you can't fix it. If you wanted to fix it, there's too much. It's too crowded. It's too many things going on there. And if I even opened that door, would bring back just too much, too many memories. And I don't want to open that door. I can understand the Lord saying, must. I must go there. Because, see, there's some things that he must get to in us. There's some things that he must go to. There's some places that he must go to so that we can get to that next level in him. And if we do not allow the Lord to come in to do what it is that he knows that he can do best, then he knows that we will always be crippled. And he's trying to get us to a place where we will believe him, where we will trust him with our lives. God, I trust you with my very life. I trust you with my secrets, with all those things that I buried and I thought I got over them, but
come on now.
It's just a closed door with a bunch of mess behind it. That's all it is, God. It's just a closed door. And there's a big lock on it. It's not just closed. It's I got a lock on that. Because I don't want to go back to that ever again. Jesus said, I want to meet you right there. He said, I must go there with you. Let me go to your house. Let me get there. And he said, hurry up. There's a sense of urgency. Y'all hearing me? Jesus said, there's a sense of urgency. I'm right there with you. And I know the things that I need to deal with. Let me go to your house. Will you hurry up? He said, hurry up now. This has got to take place now. And the Bible says in verse 6, and he made haste. He wasn't playing around.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? I got some closed doors, but guess what, God? I'm gonna allow you to come on to my house. Come on, Jesus. Come on to my house. He made haste. He came down out of that tree. And then he received him joyfully. And Jesus is saying today, receive me in that way. Receive, this is the way I want you to receive me. Because I got some things that I want to do in your life. And if you receive me joyfully, trust me, you will be joyful when I'm done. You will be joyful. And too many of us want to hold on to those things. You don't want to let it go. You don't want to let God in and let God do what he knows that he can do best. And God is saying, I'm here to let you know that I can do the impossible in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And you know how we know that he received him joyfully? The Bible says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore him fourfold. When you let Jesus in your life, he will make changes in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
He left Jesus in his house, and Jesus was able to go in that door. You know, he probably just came in that house and just cleaned it out. And that man was new. He was changed. He was a changed man. And many of us, we won't let Jesus change us. And God is saying, yeah, I need you to understand that, you know, this is what I want to do in your life, and I want you to hurry up. I want you to make haste, come down off of your high horse, come on down, because your pride won't let you say, I need help. Come on down off of your pride. You come off of the throne, and let me get up on the throne of your life. Let me do this thing. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to your house. And see, when we think about salvation, we know that salvation is a straight way to heaven. And we escape hell. But how many of us know that there's so much more in salvation? It's so much more to salvation. It's not just that I won't go to hell.
Amen.
Salvation is so much more. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have the abundant life. I want you to live life more abundantly. I don't want you to walk around here always feeling like life has done you wrong. But I want to teach you some things. I want to teach you how to live this life. And I have what you need. And he said, for today, I must abide at your house. Now, see, when we talk about Jesus, talking about he want to abide in our house, sometimes we just think, oh, just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Or but when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the Son of the living God. You want to live with me? We're talking about the Son of the living God wants to live with you. We're talking about God manifest in the flesh, and he wants to live with you. We're talking about the Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. He wants to live in your house. The God, he wants to go home with you. We're talking about the Creator of all things. We're not just talking about any old body. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the upholder of all things. He wants to live in you and through you. We're talking about the everlasting Father. We're talking about the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Word. We're talking about the man, Christ Jesus. We're talking about the seed of Abraham. He wants to live in you. Oh, we're talking about the child, Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Savior of the world.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. No, that's what we're talking about today. He wants to live in you. We're talking about the Messiah.
Yes.
The Messiah. The Lamb of God. A Lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lamb that was slain.
Yes.
We're talking about the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. He wants to live with you. We're talking about the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star.
Yes.
We're talking about a strength to the poor. We're talking about strength to the needy in distress. We're talking about the one who was our refuge in the storm. We're talking about the hope of all people. The horn of salvation is my rock. He's my rock. He's the builder. He's the foundation. He's the veil. He's the sacrifice. He's the ransom. We're talking about Jesus, the forerunner.
My God.
The just one. We're only talking about Jesus, the Holy One of God, the author and the finisher of our faith,
my Lord,
the deliverer, the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings. The Lord of both the living and the dead.
Yeah.
The Prince of Peace.
My God.
We're talking about the King. We're just talking about Jesus.
Mm.
He's the one.
Yes, he is.
He's the one who wants to live in you. He is the nailed, fastened in a sure place. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Consider him. He was obedient. He was meek and lowly. He was tempted. He was oppressed.
Come on now.
He was despised.
Yes.
He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was condemned. He was reviled. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was smitten. He was crucified.
Come on now.
He was forsaken. And he is merciful. He is faithful.
Hallelujah.
He is holy. He is harmless.
Who are you talking about, my God? Come on.
He is perfect.
Yeah.
He is glorious. He is mighty. He is justified.
Yes.
He is exalted.
Yes.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is glorified.
My God.
The Lord is my portion.
Mm.
He is my maker.
He is my well-beloved, my Savior, my hope, my brother,
Come on.
My helper, my physician, my healer, my refiner, my purifier. He is my master, my servant. He's my example.
Come on.
He's my teacher, my shepherd, my keeper. He's my leader, my restorer. He is my resting place. He's my meat, my drink, my Passover, my peace. He is my righteousness, my sanctification, and he is my all. And all, we're talking about Jesus. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all. That's all he is.
That's all.
He's just. It's no big deal.
My God.
He. That's all. He wants to live in us. That guy. That guy wants to live in us, the Almighty, the Creator of all things. Isn't that awesome? He wants to live in us.
Yes, Lord.
And for what we know about him and understand about him, and from all of what we just said about him, can we trust him?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Can we trust him?
Yes.
Now that we know who this man is, now that we know who he is, can we trust him? Zacchaeus could trust him. Zacchaeus came out of that tree. He hurried up. He hurried up. He came out of that tree and he said, you know, I receive you. Will you receive him today? Let us all stand. Hallelujah.